Digital Europe, bringing the continent's tech scene to your ears.
Now, from a multi-billion euro project to a tech innovation that could help save billions in healthcare costs. That's fitness trackers and other wearable technologies. For years, they've been hyped as health saviors, with claims that they'll help you to move more or to lose more weight or to sleep better or even manage your anxiety levels, assuming, of course, that you turn off the work emails. But now health insurance companies are starting to show interest and are even subsidizing or providing free fitness trackers to their customers. Here to talk about this trend is our Digital Europe correspondent, Kate Herzine. Kate, before we start talking about some of the issues surrounding wearable technologies, though, first, can you just give us a kind of quick overview of the kinds of information that wearables can capture now?
Well, look, the standard fitness bands that people might have heard of, such as Fitbit or Jawbone or Garmin, they usually track things such as how many steps you take. You know, they have an inbuilt pedometer. They can also track your heart rate and your sleep. And some of them might be able to track other physical activities such as bike riding or swimming or even skiing.
And the newest wearable technologies can actually do more than that, right? They can get more information.
Yeah, they sure can. I mean, there are wearables out there that can do everything from measuring your blood pressure to measuring your calorie intake. They can do that by constantly measuring the glucose levels in your skin. And there's even a new one out there that measures your sweat and your electrodermal activity on your skin, and it can register your stress levels. So all in all, wearables are becoming incredibly advanced in what they can detect.
So all of this data, very interesting for a lot of people, very interesting for researchers, but particularly interesting for health insurance companies.
Yeah. I mean, the idea, and it's very logical, is that if your customers are healthier, then in the future, a health insurance company is going to be making less payments. So they're obviously saving money by having a healthy customer base. And in German, the first public health insurance companies just announced that they're going to give a 50 euro subsidy, that's around $55, towards a fitness tracker. And there are a few health insurance companies, such as Vitali Life in the United Kingdom, and they've actually built up an entire incentive program around fitness trackers for their customers.
And what kind of incentives? What are they encouraging us to do?
Well, customers can earn points by doing exercise that's tracked. So they might go to the gym and do a workout, and this earns them a certain amount of points. And then they can cash in these points that they've earned on things such as movie tickets or free coffee. So in the end, you're really getting a reward for doing your exercise beyond just maybe feeling good because you've exercised.
Okay, so that's definitely a positive development. They're encouraging people to be active. But what about one of those binge weekends we all occasionally have where you sit down in front of Netflix and watch movies and eat pizza and wash it all down with soda? Is that something insurance companies can see in their data? And could this actually make your premiums go up?
Well, this is an extreme example, and it's something that's not happening yet, but it's something that people are already talking about. What happens in the future could be that your premiums go down when you do lots of exercise and that your premiums actually go up when you don't, in the same way that smokers, of course, pay higher health insurance premiums. But this brings out all sorts of examples. What happens if you break your foot and you can't exercise for 6 weeks? Do your premiums go up then? Or even new parents, you know, you're sleep deprived, your baby's been awake all night, and instead of exercising when you've got a free half an hour, you actually go and have a nap. So do your premiums go up because of this? So these are all the kinds of things that still are under discussion, but really need to be thought about before these fitness trackers become part of our daily life.
And they're not yet a part of everyone's daily lives, because it's typically men, roughly 35 and under. And so these subsidies, they're a good thing, aren't they? Because they're encouraging people who might not otherwise be able to afford a wearable to go out and get one.
Look, that's one thing. I read a scientific study recently looking at fitness trackers, and they said one of the problems is that people who maybe really need them can't afford them. So by having this kind of subsidy, yes, you could be encouraging people to buy one. And having this kind of built-in incentive program is also potentially a really good thing. There aren't that many studies of fitness trackers, so it's because they haven't been around for so long. But it's suggested that around 50% of people, so half of the people who buy one, stop using them within 6 months. So if you have an incentive program around a fitness tracker, that's going to help give people a reason to exercise, and that, of course, is fantastic. But on the other hand, as we've already talked about, what happens if you've got people who aren't using the fitness trackers and then they end up paying more? So it's one of those kind of dicey situations. You know, there's really positives, but there's also some negatives.
With the negatives potentially being that my health insurance company might find out something about me that I don't want them to know.
Yeah, this is something that privacy experts are very concerned about, this kind of health data. I mean, if your health data reveals an underlying health problem, in theory, like I said, this is all a matter of conjecture at the moment, but in theory, maybe your health insurance premiums go up. And it's the same thing, you know, if you have a wearable that can measure your calorie intake, we're talking about all kind of extreme situations. What happens if you break up with your boyfriend? You start eating comfort food, your stress levels go up, your wearable measures all of this. It's all a bit science fiction, but they're really important things to think about.